I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout.
Today is Wednesday, November 6th. What to know today about elections in three different states, including one some say is too close to call. And a key witness changes his testimony in the impeachment inquiry. Plus, brain-embedded tech to help with addiction. An NBA subscription option. And what happened when Microsoft tried four-day work weeks. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. He changed his story. A top diplomat revised his testimony to Congress in the impeachment inquiry. We're talking about Gordon Sondland. He's the ambassador to the European Union. He made an adjustment to the transcripts of his testimony that were released yesterday. Sondland now says he told Ukrainian officials that they would likely not get the $400 million of U.S. military aid if they did not publicly commit to the investigations President Trump wanted to see. Sondland says he personally passed that message along from Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, to Ukraine. That's something he didn't mention during his first testimony a few weeks ago. Now he says the other witnesses had, quote, refreshed my recollection. And this is getting a lot of attention because, one, it's not great for President Trump, but two, this is a guy who has been a Republican mega donor. He gave $1 million to the Trump inauguration before becoming an ambassador. And his addition to his testimony is basically at the heart of the impeachment inquiry. We know President Trump asked Ukraine to investigate Democrats, but there are still some different stories out there about whether or not the money the White House withheld from Ukraine for a bit was actually linked directly to that request. Sondland seems to be saying now, yes, and he called her improper. But the White House is pushing back. The press secretary says Sondland made assumptions, that he just presumed there was a link, but never cited a solid source for it. And another person's testimony was also released yesterday. CBS News reports former special envoy to Ukraine, Kurt Volker, said he was never asked to do anything he thought was wrong, but that he was concerned about Giuliani's role with Ukraine relations. All right, so next up, Democrats want White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney to testify. He's the highest ranking White House official investigators have called on so far, but the White House says he won't show. Well, some of you may have gone to the polls yesterday for local and state elections across the country. So here's an update on a few of the high profile races that have people talking, specifically in Kentucky, Mississippi, and Virginia. And remember, some think these results are hints about how people are feeling a year before the presidential election. Well, the results are mixed. The AP reports in Mississippi, Republicans held on. Republican Tate Reeves will be governor, though it was the closest race in years. But in Kentucky, NBC News projects Andy Beshear will become governor, meaning Democrats pulled off a win. He declared victory. But here's the thing. At last check early this morning, the AP is still saying the race is too close to call. And the Republican candidate, Matt Bevin, is refusing to concede. He's trailing by only 5,000 votes. So there's a chance there's a recount or review of the vote totals. Expect some more developments on this one today. Also in Virginia, Democrats are celebrating. The Washington Post reports Democrats flipped control of both the state Senate and House, getting majorities and control of state government for the first time in a generation. Some sad news to report about an attack on Americans in Mexico. ABC News reports three women and six children died. They were gunned down by drug cartels in northern Mexico, where there's been a gang turf war. Eight other children managed to escape and find help, but several of them were hurt. Relatives say all of them are U.S. citizens. Reuters reports they are members of a breakaway Mormon community that settled in northern Mexico's hills and plains. They were in three different SUVs, and Mexican officials think the gunmen may have mistaken them for rival gangs, but officials are still investigating. President Trump responded, offering to help Mexico wage war on cartels. Mexico's president, though, rejected it, saying, quote, "The worst thing you can have is war." We're in a climate emergency. That's what more than 11,000 scientists from around the world are saying in a new report. Scientists have released a lot of reports about climate change, but this one is a little bit different. The Washington Post says this is the first time scientists have collectively come out in favor of labeling climate change as an emergency. And unlike others, they didn't really mince words about it. The report also laid out six policy recommendations, like replacing fossil fuels and even stabilizing population growth. For the first time, U.S. researchers are embedding technology in people's brains to fight opioid addiction. TechCrunch reports researchers in West Virginia are running the first clinical trial using a deep brain stimulation, or DBS, device for this reason. Here's how it works. An electrode is surgically implanted inside the brain. Then an external device sends electrical pulses to the chip to interrupt the patient's typical brain behavior, like cravings for a drug. It's supposed to eventually train the patient's brain to no longer want the drugs. Engadget says DBS technology is already FDA approved and used to treat Parkinson's disease, depressive disorders, and epilepsy. But it's still being tested for opioid addiction. If all goes well, it could eventually be used as a last resort treatment. All right, we have more news ahead, but first let's take a quick break for today's sponsor. If you're ready to build healthier habits, but you want more support and accountability to actually do it this time, then check out Noom. Noom believes getting in shape is not just about losing weight, that it's also about feeling better and having the stamina to keep up with your busy life. And one thing I noticed is that Noom offers a lot of tools so you can use what's best for you. From a goal specialist that will message directly with you to one of the biggest and most accurate food databases available so you can track your meals. There are also things like personalized courses, since Noom is based in psychology, to help teach why we do the things we do. And Noom only expects you to spend about 10 minutes on the app a day to help you see results. And Noom knows we're all human, so it's okay to go off track. There's no shaming. Even small steps can lead to big progress. So if you want to try it out, sign up for your trial at noom.com/newsworthy. That's Noom, noom.com/newsworthy to sign up for the free trial. Noom.com/newsworthy. Now back to the news. AT&T will pay $60 million to settle a case with the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC. Reuters reports AT&T allegedly lied to customers in the past about their ultimate data plans. Customers were charged for an unlimited plan, but if they went over a certain threshold, the carrier allegedly slowed down internet speeds. So unlimited didn't actually mean unlimited. Customers who signed up for that unlimited plan before the year 2011 will now get a partial refund. And this isn't the first time AT&T got in trouble for this. The Verge says the FCC fined the company $100 million in 2015 for something similar. At the time, it was the biggest fine in FCC history. Google Pigeon is now available in more cities. That's a transit app which gives people real-time information about public transportation, including crowds and delays. CNET says Pigeon was only available in New York before to help people with the city's complicated subway system, but now it's moving to five new cities: Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. Eventually, it could expand more or even be added to Google Maps. YouTube just gave creators another way to make money. It's with a new feature called Super Stickers. Fans can use the animated animals and fruit to show their support and connect with their favorite creators. They start at 99 cents and go up to $50. And new features may be coming to Twitter as well. The Verge says these haven't been officially announced, but a company executive teased them as possibilities. One of the new features would let you disable the retweet option on a tweet, which could help stop your tweet from spreading if you don't want it to. And a second feature would ban other users from mentioning you in a tweet without your permission. Twitter is considering these features as a way to try and prevent harassment. Reports say if these changes come, it wouldn't happen until next year. Well, pay attention, cord cutters, you know, people without cable. The NBA just made its 24-hour basketball channel, NBA TV, available as a standalone streaming service, meaning you can now pay about $7 a month to get live basketball games, past programming, and original shows. CNN says more sports leagues and broadcasters are making efforts to expand on digital and reach more cord cutters. If you already pay for cable, though, you don't have to pay for this new subscription. And speaking of live TV, ABC just honored the 30th anniversary of the iconic Disney film, The Little Mermaid, with a live performance on TV last night. Ali'i Cuevallo played Ariel and Queen Latifah was Ursula. So how did it go? Well, there are very mixed reviews on social media. Some fans said they loved it, others were less impressed. In fact, a USA Today review called it an awkward failure. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Work Wednesday, where we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. And today we're talking about four-day work weeks, because the results are in from a big business running a recent trial. CNN reports Microsoft tried out four-day work weeks in Japan over the summer, shutting down every Friday in August. As part of the trial program, Microsoft also made sure meetings would not last longer than 30 minutes. Well, the results are pretty promising. Even though the amount of time spent at work was cut down, Microsoft says productivity actually went up by nearly 40% compared to the same time last year. The company also saved by using fewer resources like electricity during the days off. All right, thank you so much for listening today. As always, you can read more about the news stories we talked about in today's show notes. Just click episodes on thenewsworthy.com to see all the links and sources. The Newsworthy is here for you to listen every weekday by 4 in the morning. I'll be back with more news tomorrow. Have a great day.